Welcome to the NSPCC Learning Podcast, where we share learning and expertise in child protection from inside and outside of the organisation. We aim to create debate, encourage reflection, and share good practice on how we can all work together to keep babies, children, and young people safe.
Welcome to the NSPCC Learning Podcast. Today's two-part episode is all about early intervention and supporting new parents through adversity to ensure the best outcomes for them and their child. You're going to hear a conversation between Colin Smy and Jed Doherty. Colin works at the NSPCC's Blackpool Better Start service. Blackpool Better Start is a 10-year national lottery-funded programme to transform services in the town and change childhoods through lived experience, science and evidence. Jed Doherty is a team manager at one of Blackpool Better Start's 40 funded services, For Baby's Sake. For Baby's Sake is a programme for expectant parents that takes a whole family approach, starting in pregnancy and dealing with the entire cycle and history of domestic abuse, identifying and directly addressing the trauma or traumas that lie at the heart of the problem. Colin and Jed's conversation, recorded in September 2023, will cover the importance of the first 1001 days of a child's life, and how For Baby's Sake uses therapeutic, trauma-informed and strengths-based approaches to support parents going through adversity during the early years. Whilst the discussion focuses on the early years, the techniques that Jed mentions in this podcast should be useful inspiration for professionals working with families at any stage of the parental journey. The discussion will be interspersed with clips from an interview we filmed earlier this year with Jake and Charlotte, two parents who are participating in the For Baby's Sake programme. Jake and Charlotte are parents to a little girl, Isabella, who you may hear playing and babbling in the background of the recordings. The couple faced adversity when Charlotte was pregnant with Isabella. Jake was in prison for domestic abuse, but For Baby's Sake worked with them to overcome these challenges, better handle complex emotions, and form trusting relationships in order to best care for baby Isabella. As part of the programme, Jake and Charlotte each have a therapeutic practitioner, Owen and Karen, who you will also hear talking in these clips. In the first clip, Jake and Charlotte explain how they came to work with For Baby's Sake.
So Jake, what were your expectations of working with For Baby's Sake?
Well, obviously, as you know, at the time I was in custody when a referral went in, Isabella wasn't yet born yet. I was struggling with building a healthy relationship with my daughter and my partner, Charlotte. So I was just expecting for help to try and, help me understand, my emotions and understand how to be a dad and, how to make those relationships work.
Brilliant. And how have you found the service so far then?
Really good. I mean, as I touched on a minute ago, obviously you came to see me while I was in custody. We did a bit of work then and then everything carried on after release as well, which was expecting maybe a bit of time, to get things sorted out, but it was seamless and, we continue, obviously, to work together today, which is great.
So what was the experience like for you, Charlotte? We've just heard from Jake. What was the experience like for you?
Well, it made me feel like I could speak about things that were bothering me in a safe space. And then it would teach us to be able to do that on our own in the future rather than with you two next to us. And it just gives us that... I don't really want to use the word lesson, but it just helps us be able to learn how to do that on our own, and it will benefit us in the future because that's something that we can use constantly around Isabella or, like I said, without you there.
Welcome everybody. We're here talking about supporting parents today. My name is Colin Smy and I'm a development manager at Blackpool Better Start. Blackpool Better Start is a 10-year lottery funded programme. We're working with families in deprived areas from pregnancy to age 4, and we're trying to identify the opportunities for them to improve their life chances across a range of things, including health, oral health, diet, nutrition, school readiness, social and emotional well-being and healthy gestation and birth and pregnancy. With me today is Jed Doherty. Would you like to introduce yourself, Jed?
Afternoon, everyone. My name's Jed Doherty and I'm the team manager of the Blackpool For Baby's Sake team. We are a specialist thematic team who work in a trauma-informed, empathic way with pregnant couples who are experiencing domestic violence, either currently or in the past, in their relationship. We offer a unique approach into how we work with those co-parents, in that mum gets a worker and dad gets a worker, and we follow a specific evidence-based program approach to the work. We start in pregnancy around viable pregnancy time, so 15 weeks onwards, and we can remain working with that family with their consent until the child's second birthday. So the first critical 1001 days of a child's life.
That's fantastic, Jeff. And that kind of leads nicely into the first areas we were talking about in Better Start and the Centre for Early Child Development. We like to always talk about the 1001 days and why they're so critical. What for you, and we've spoken about this regularly at different times, but what for you is so important about those first 1001 days that you see in families and the challenges in Blackpool?
We both know, because we've worked in the town for a very long time, that there are lots of complex issues which are kind of unique to the families in our town. Blackpool is top of the list for all the right reasons, and it's the top of the list for all the wrong reasons. Some of the families that we serve live in the poorest ward in England. So poverty in and of itself, it has a massive detrimental impact on a child and their family's outcomes, without the additional complex needs associated with their parents, their parents' childhood, and their parents' past. I am a social worker by profession, and I've worked with children and families for 30 years. And across that spectrum of my practice, my learning has continued, grown, developed our understanding of children and babies and families functioning, and their capacity has grown and developed. And the For Baby's Sake model of practice, which was developed some 10 years ago, clearly tells us that the work that has been undertaken with families, targeted thematic work, which takes into account intergenerational cycles of harm, that how we can support families to break those cycles, and that we can potentially improve a child's healthy outcomes, emotional and social, across their lifespan. And that is significant beyond comprehension.
Yeah, and there's a number of reports that we come across quite regularly, and it's certainly made it to parliamentary level now, where we've seen the Start for Life funding recently, looking at the first 1001 days and the impact on that. We talk about word gaps. Children and babies are quite often not exposed to that speech and language and the opportunities to learn and be able to communicate. And we know that the brain develops most rapidly at that early stage, starts out quite smooth and flat, and all those neurons firing about with all the input that goes on. It's really important that we've got the opportunity for those babies to experience what's required for the inputs, without it being over the top, without it being negative, without it being toxic. It's a bit like finding a Goldilocks zone sometimes, isn't it? But it doesn't have to be quite that complicated.
No,
it's astrophysics, does it? But
no, and it's really significant that you mention that, because integral to the work that we're doing for Baby's Sake is that we support parents to understand, via the Alberta Wellness Brain Training, accredited training that is free for anyone, is that we support our parents in the way that parents now know the harmful impact of smoking and alcohol during pregnancy. They now understand the impact on their baby's developing brain of the stress hormone cortisol, which can be present if someone is a victim experiencing consistent forms of domestic violence and its other associated abuse behaviours. So when we capture parents at that critical moment in time whilst the baby's in utero, and we develop their understanding of the harm that can be caused, people then can make safer choices. In the past, the countless times that I would have conversations with parents and they would say, what you want about? The kids were upstairs, or well, the baby's inside. What's it, you know, what harm is it coming to? I never touched that, but they had no concept of the harm that was physically taking place because that baby's mother was stressed. So that is a significant piece of learning that we undertake with parents at that critical moment in time. And then when we've established that groundwork understanding, that then forms the basis. That's like our foundation. And then we begin to build upon and bring all of the learning into about people's capacity to learn how to self-soothe, self-regulate, make safer choices, function in a different way, understand their past and the impact that their parents' past and their grandparents' past has had on their functioning and how they deal with situations.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is how we're able to move through the pillars of what Better Start's looking at there, as they introduce it around speech, language and communication and being able to verbalise emotions. Yeah. And actually what you're able to talk about there moving into is the social and emotional development we're looking at. And that's the critical, yeah, one of the other critical elements of that first 1001 days, that babies learn about how to regulate emotions, how to build relationships with caregivers. I'm not going to try and be clever and list all the chemicals off, cortisol and oxytocin and the other ones. But they're all firing and going away about how they manage those relationships. And it's interesting when you say about self-soothing as well, as adults, how we do it. But it's understanding that as children, that as babies, when we're a caregiver, and we can see the difference between those children, can't we, that we work with in the families, who are over-familiar, under-familiar, the behaviours around different people are different because they might come to, when we talk about self-soothing and crying, sometimes actually it's understanding what that baby's telling you by crying. You know, they're not using our words and our language, but they're using the language that's open to them to try to get attention, to try to get affection, to try to get the love, and understanding that actually it's okay for babies to cry, and you responding to them isn't,
and also
spoiling them.
Yeah, it's okay for parents to say, my baby crying is stressing me out. We know, because we talk all the time about working with especially the dads in our town, and I don't mean to generalize or make it gender specific, but we know that there are dads in our town whose capacity to know how to be the best parent possible is limited, and that's because of structural inequalities within the service provision in our town. Blackpool is making huge strides forward in all of the new services and training opportunities for parents, run by parents, run by professionals, that everyone can access. And our dads are gaining confidence in how they are approaching their role as a parent and a partner. And a partner in terms of being a co-parent, not just a partner to your significant other. It's about the partnership of parenting that baby.
And we saw that in we've got a recording from a couple of your parents, haven't we, Jake and Charlotte?
Yeah.
Where Jake talks quite a bit. And it's interesting because when he's been through baby sake with your team, I think it's Owen he worked with, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he's actually reflected on the way he's changed and the impact of his parenting before, the impact of his parenting after, but also the impact of his behaviour on his partner. So he stopped thinking himself of he's dad on his own, she's mum on his own, and that's baby on her own, and started thinking of themselves as a family, as a triad, and they're all relying on one another.
Me in the past, being obviously a perpetrator of domestic violence and, you know, domestic abuse, it's been, you know, my whole perception of a relationship was completely out of order and wrong. It wasn't healthy. It's never been healthy. It's kind of given me ways to change that and how to realise that, you know, things are normal. Like if Charlotte needs a bit of time to just go away, have her time, it's okay for that to happen instead of me being wanting to sort things there and then and and stuff. And I think that passes on. If someone's been violent towards a partner before, you know, it can easily happen to a family member, you know, a child that is there. I mean, someone who's violent and who has a violent outburst doesn't think what he's doing at the time. Mm. 9 times out of 10, it's just the red mist descends, the violent outburst happens, and then before you know it, you know, my child could be hurt, you know, my partner would be hurt. And I guess trying to turn that violence into a more better managed behaviour that deals with that emotion that you're feeling is one of the best things that would keep that child safe and stop anything happening that could harm her.
Jake had significant adversity in his past. And when we first met him, he was serving a prison sentence, but we were still able to work with him. Whilst he was in prison, we had virtual contact with him. Owen went to see him face to face and did program work in the prison with him. And then that work seamlessly continued when he came out back into the community and was living in his own place. They were living separately at that time. The baby had been subject to a child protection plan, and the evidence that was being generated via the work that him and his partner Charlotte were doing are consistent contact and feeding into that statutory social work process, to the point where I came back from leave today and was copied into an email, and the family have stepped down to Universal Services because there is no presenting evidence of any risk to that child because her parents have been utterly committed to making those changes. But you use the word reflect when you were talking about some of the stuff that Jake had said. Jake and Charlotte have embraced the concept of reflection, and they've used that to make their situation safer because they are actively thinking about decisions that they've made in the past, decisions they're making in the present. What is the right thing to do? What is the safest thing to do? Why did we end up in this situation? What caused that to happen? What could have been done differently? And it's that taking ownership of all of those aspects of your life and your behaviour, owning it, talking about it, sharing it, reflecting on it, being curious, asking questions, asking for advice, connecting to the community. And that's another thing that is really integral to the success of our For Baby's Sake families. We as a team actively promote connection to the community and what the services in Blackpool have to offer. There is a whole portfolio of stuff out there for those families to connect to.
So there's a couple of things in unpicking Jake and Charlotte's story from when we watched it and what you've just said there. And I know I've spoken already about, you know, Better Start and Centre for Early Child Development. We talk about our pillars and we've covered social, emotional development, speech and language. But there was also an element in there about the pregnancy period and why healthy gestation and birth is so vital to the baby. And you've said about being in utero. But in Jake and Charlotte's story, obviously with Jake being incarcerated, and a factor that we talk about regularly is understanding what a trauma-informed approach is. And trauma-informed approach doesn't always just have to be about the child or just about mum, as typically happens. In your example, you're talking about dad. And I know in the video, both Jake and Charlotte, but particularly Jake, talk about past traumas they've experienced, yeah, and how that's affected their upbringing and then their own parenting styles and standards.
Can I ask as well, when we're talking about sort of parenting and we do some of that reflection work and we're talking about our childhood experiences and how we were parented, have you found that helpful unpicking some of that experiences about what it was like for you as children?
Yeah, I found it very helpful. I mean, I never realised, I've been always a supporter of my parent and what, you know, what my childhood was. But then when I've looked back at some of the, you know, as you call it, the adverse childhood experiences, and looking back on them and thinking, right, maybe this wasn't quite right, and maybe this wasn't quite right, where I've just justified things my whole life, I can kind of look back and think, right, that wasn't right, so let's not do that this time. you know, because a lot of parents do take what their parent or the parents have brought into their lives, and they think, oh, because my parent brought me up like that, this is how I'm going to do it with my child. And that's not always the best option.
I think when you've experienced something as a child, it becomes normalised, and the work that we've done with the babysitters made me realise some of the things that I may have witnessed as a child aren't normal, and that has helped me to realise that that's not what I want Isabella to witness as she's growing up. Yeah.
Touching on what I said earlier about obviously my parent, my childhood, and you know how it made me as a person, feeling like no one wanted me, you know, and with our relationship, how I'd ring constantly and need your reassurance and your attention. I think doing this work and you doing this work yourself and getting that self-belief and making you more confident, you know, that confidence that I probably broke down with all the reassurance I needed, you building that back up and me being able to build that up at the same time, rather than you building it up and me breaking it down, both of our confidence is rising and it kind of just, we bounce off each other and able to come up with solutions to problems, something we wouldn't ever have been able to do before. And making us being that way and having that self-belief in ourselves as parents and as being in a relationship has kind of just made Isabella the girl she is today, you know, happy, thriving, and, you know, living every minute of her life, which is the way it should be.
By you guys having been aware of that and the way you've worked and spoken to them, and I know they said they've worked with different people independently, but then been able to talk about their work together so that there's no secrets. And it removes those issues about where they may have come across either trauma in their old childhood that they've experienced directly at the hands of individuals, or trauma that they've experienced in interacting with services as well, which is just as difficult for some families to come across. And then bringing that all back together has helped to knit them into part of a community and make them a community within their own right and their own family, so they're able to address those traumas that they've got and not deflect that onto their baby, which I think then brings us up to speed with where we might talk about how does our work in that first 1,001 days intervene and prevent or support safeguarding of children, I should say. So where you've brought us up to speed with Jake and Charlotte's story, where they're up to now, without that, what might be we looking at in terms of safeguarding? So what's so vital about the work we've done in that 1,001 days early doors that's safeguarded against safeguarding in the long term? That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And I guess we could break it down. So thinking about the question that you've asked me, I think one of the things that we do, the Babysafe team do, which supports safeguarding, is that we have the capacity to be able to build a trusting relationship, a sustained trusting relationship with our parents. The nature of social work is that people will come and go. The nature of social work is that a case may travel through different teams. So there may be the team who first meets the family, does a pre-birth assessment, and then that assessment is concluded, it's on to the next stage. That social worker passes that family onto the next social worker. He will do their part of their process. But we have continuously been the golden thread through that situation. Our practice-based approach is something which makes parents themselves feel safe about. Parents will often say in meetings, will you tell them, because you know what I'm talking about. In terms of the work you and I have done in co-production, Born Into Care, all of that stuff, consistently parents will say they are weary of telling their story repetitively. And some of our parents have been doing that since they were children, because they may have been involved in the system themselves, subject to child protection plans, they may be care experienced. And for a significant period of time, they have been telling their story. In our trauma-informed approach, we are very much led by them. It's a person-centered approach, which gives them the time and space to be able to process their experiences. In giving time and space and supporting that person to process, understand, come to terms with, that in and of itself reduces or can reduce lots of harmful behaviours. And it starts with the parent recognising their own harmful behaviours and how they impact on self and others. And that is the foundation of your safeguarding. If you can keep yourself and your partner safe and you have a loving, healthy, secure and strong attachment to your baby, you are going to keep your baby safe.
That's the end of part one of our discussion on supporting parents through adversity. In part two, available now, Colin and Jed will talk about why it's so important to involve fathers in early intervention.
Thanks for listening to this NSPCC Learning podcast. At the time of recording, this episode's content was up to date, but the world of safeguarding and child protection is ever changing. So, if you're looking for the most current safeguarding and child protection training, information or resources, please visit our website for professionals at nspcc.org.uk/learning.